pain receptors are the same in the pediatric patient compared to the adult. This is not more or less pain, but they do have increased fear and anxiety. Most children can't reason at all until approximately 7 years of age, and most are in the 10 to 14 age group before assessment and outcome expectation become a habit. Many adolescent children up to 18 years or better have difficulty distinguishing long-term and short-term gains and goals. One cannot expect in children the same measure of control found in adults, even with the same discomfort. This results in a noisy practice since analgesia is not required for each tympanic membrane inspection or immunization. Nonetheless, the pain of trauma, surgery, chronic disease, or invasive procedures should be relieved or prevented. This part of the module will address pain assessment and management in the child with cancer. The goals of therapy when treating children are the same as those used in adults. However, an additional goal when treating the pediatric patient is to offer relief and solace to the parents or guardians. It is a terrible event for a parent to have a child in pain. The neuroanatomy and pathophysiology are the same in children as adults. The children frequently display idiopathic or psychogenic pain as an expression of their anxiety and fear about what is happening. They readily pick up the anxiety and depression of their parents. The patterns of pain in pediatrics are the same as seen in adults. Any of the cancer pain syndromes could occur in children, but they are unusual. The most common pain is bone pain. This occurs particularly in leukemia, neuroblastoma, rhabdomyosarcoma, and osteogenic sarcoma. Leptomeningeal tumor spread does occur in the acute leukemias, especially acute lymphocytic leukemia, or ALL, but also in head and neck lymphomas or rhabdomyosarcomas. Local treatment, if possible, results in the best control of this pain. Local radiation or intrathecal chemotherapy are frequently used. However, bone pain from tumors unresponsive to therapy is a major problem, and one in which pain control is the goal, not disease cure. Post-chemotherapy neuropathy pain does occur in children, but not often. The problems of stump pain are the same as adults. The same assessment plan used for adults can be used in children. Keep in mind the parent will be answering most of the questions, and this can be both a hindrance and a help. In the psychosocial assessment, it is well to remember that what the child should be doing is playing or in school. School-aged children isolated from their peers frequently become depressed. Non-pharmacologic methods are well known to those who take care of children, be it parent or physician. These include swaddling, pacifiers, distraction, imagery, or counter-irritation. Distraction and imagery can be used with no formal training. This is used easily with needle sticks to inspecting the ears or throat. Counter-irritation is exactly what it says. Apply pressure or rub an area adjacent to the site or intended site of injury. Physical therapy can play a vital role, especially in fractures or peripheral nerve injury. Physical therapy can include therapeutic exercise, massage, hydrotherapy with warm or cold applications, ultrasound, and transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation, or TENS. A TENS unit delivers a very mild electrical stimulation to painful areas. This is thought to stimulate release of endogenous analgesic substances or change the body's perception of pain from the affected area. As in treatment of adults with pain, the first line of therapy are the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs. They are thought to interfere with formation of cyclooxygenase products, which are produced in injured peripheral tissue. These products appear to contribute to local erythema and to sensitize nerve endings. NSAIDs have the same toxicities in all age groups, such as hepatic and renal, and should be used with caution in patients with damage or disease of these organs. Severe pain, especially bone pain, will not be controlled by NSAIDs. It will be necessary to use opioids. Please click here for more information on dosage. Severe pain, especially bone pain, will not be controlled by NSAIDs. It will be necessary to use opioids. The potential side effects include those listed here. Decreased gastrointestinal motility can lead to a distended abdomen or constipation. The cardiovascular and respiratory depression are similar to what is seen in adults. It is best to titrate the dose. Observation of the child will usually reveal if the pain relief is adequate. The child will not have a tranquil look on his face or smile while he is stating he is in pain. Most of the children have very little guile. If in pain, they tend to be irritable, restless, and won't look at you. It is a normal tendency for physicians to under-medicate because of fear of cardiovascular or respiratory depression or addiction. If the child has terminal cancer, addiction is not a valid reason to withhold medication. Tolerance to opioids also develops in children. In non-ventilated infants less than 6 months of age, because of pharmacokinetic differences in young infants, one should use 1/4 to 1/3 of the initial calculated dose recommended for older children. Caution is indicated when administering opioids to debilitated or impaired patients, especially in combination with other sedative agents. Sometimes, however, it is useful to use an anti-anxiety agent or tricyclic compound for depression, especially in the adolescent child. An NSAID can be used in conjunction with an opioid because of its opioid-sparing effect. Patients treated with opioid-NSAID combinations require less opioid. The opioids can be administered IM, IV, oral, intraspinal, and intraarticular. Transdermal products are also available. Other drugs not typically considered analgesics can be helpful. Neuropathic pain can sometimes be relieved by anticonvulsants. Benzodiazepines listed here are useful amsiacs and anxiolytic agents. Patient-controlled analgesia can be used even in a patient as young as 6 years. The patient triggers a microprocessor-controlled infusion pump. Analgesia is established, then the patient initiates additional doses within confines of prescribed dosage with a minimal dosing interval or lockout interval and a 4-hour dose limit. Both parent and child must understand the technique, but the child should be the one pushing the button. This can be done in the home, preferably with home health care supervision as well as the physician.